Good morning. Greetings to each of you this morning. In the name of Jesus, glad to be here this morning. And Brother Stephen is correct. I don't think I ever preached to the congregation here, with one small exception. I did have a deacon's meeting here, so it's not the first time I was at Tyrone, but it is the first time to be here with you as a body, as a church family. So it's good to be here. And the rotating schedule, we really, there's a lot of times we really appreciate the rotating schedule at Great Lakes, but it does come with cost to have visiting speakers. We need to take our turn as well. So we're glad to do that this morning. Greetings from Great Lakes. Stephen picked me out this morning. How many of you have been to Great Lakes? All right, some of you. Some of you haven't. Glad to have visitors there. You're always welcome. One of the things that I like to comment about, or it's encouraging to us when we have people come to Great Lakes, Michigan's kind of up in between the lakes. And I guess I have some friends and along 80, and they get lots of visitors. But I like to say when people come to Great Lakes, they come to see us, because it's not really a pass-through. So look forward to having you there whenever you have opportunity. This morning, as far as a message, I'm excited to share. I feel the Lord has been working in my heart, and I'd like to share that with you this morning. In Michigan, sometimes there's days or experiences that we have that are not so pleasant. Life can sometimes get heavy. It's just busy, and sometimes, I don't know how it is for you, but I've faced a little bit of, sometimes you face some discouragement. I feel like there's just a lot to do, and maybe things don't always work out the way we wish they would, and it's easy to feel discouraged. But this morning, I invite you to turn to John chapter 15. I'm not going to stay here, but it's Jesus teaching. I'd like to borrow a phrase of Jesus, a phrase that he uses as a title to our message this morning. John chapter 15. You know this story really well. It's Jesus. It's interesting to me that in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, I think is it in the upper room? He teaches the disciples a lot of things there. And so 15 is kind of right in the middle in that. I'd like to drop down to, I know we're breaking in here, chapter 15, verse 9. It says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you." And my title is the last part there, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. It's the last phrase, that your joy might be full this morning. That your joy might be full. Do you experience joy? Do you know what that is? That's something I'd like to look at today. Something that is a challenge for me, but I think as Christians, it needs to be our experience. So all of us make small choices that modify and affect our lives. There's things that we do, and we get certain results out of it. Isaac Newton once said, "For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction." And I know this is primarily about physics and science, but in our lives, sometimes there's things that we do and we have expected results. It's calculated. Somebody this morning mentioned that in our culture, there's logic. We have calculated results. If we do this, and I'd say as conservative people, we do a lot of planning. And that's good. That's right. There, another way to say that is that for any cause, there is a result. Or this morning, I'd just for a little bit of an introduction, I'd like to think of that cause and effect. So God created laws that do not change. They're absolutes. They're fixed. And when we learn those laws, what those laws are, or allow others to help us learn what they are, it can be a great blessing. In the book of Proverbs, has specific teaching on cause and effect. If we do this, then this is going to happen. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Cause and effect. Pride equals shame, and with the lowly, there's wisdom. Now, there's a lot of those laws that God put together, and I was just thinking this morning, if children all know what this is. This is for if the preacher gets thirsty, takes a drink. But what happens if I just reached over here and tipped that over? What would happen? What would happen if I tipped it over? It would come out. Are you sure? Well, of course. It's because it always works that way, isn't it? If I took my Bible up this morning and I just left it go, where would it go? It'd go down. See, God has some laws that we can't change. Can I just decide that, you know what, I'm just going to do this and the water's going to stay in it? Well, no, that's not how it works. God has established some absolute laws that consistently happen. And as people, we begin to depend on them and we learn from them. And then we also, I think for me, it's easy to think that God, well, we take that law of gravity and we rely on it. But then I also think sometimes there's things in life that we expect and we calculate ourselves that if I do this, I'm pretty sure that this is going to happen. But not everything in life is as absolute as some of those laws of physics and science. God ultimately is sovereign. And he decides what the absolute truth is, not us. He decides what the absolute truth is. That what I wanted to think about this morning, and as a little bit of an introduction, as we think about the cause and effect, when we do something, something else happens. There is an effect side. And when we, for example, there's some people that think or believe that life is happening to them. We feel that we have no power to change. We can be caught or stuck or trapped because something happened to us. So there was an experience that we had no control over it, and it's just a circumstance that we experienced, and we can't control it. And we focus on that. Sometimes those kind of people that focus on the effects, it's easy to complain a lot about how people did things to them or how something happened to me that it was beyond me. It's easy to blame other people for our situations in life, family or friends or church, things that happened that they were beyond us and we were the recipient of it. We sometimes think of those kind of people as the victim or the sufferer or the injured. Couldn't help it. It just happened. And then it's easy to get discouraged when we face that. But this morning, I would like to think about the cause. Consider what we can do to make a difference rather than to face life as just an effect and a circumstance. There's things that we can do this morning, and I'd like to look into the Word to look at some of those things that can help us as we face life. People that think about the cause side are responsible for their outcomes and results that they're getting in life. They're looking for things that they could do to adjust and produce a difference in their life. This morning, if I don't want the floor to get wet, then don't pour the cup out, right? There's things that we can do to affect or things that we can do that will affect the outcome. really this morning, I just want us to think about taking responsibility for our thoughts. It's so easy when we face discouragement to just become blue and glum. But that's not what God has for us. God wants us to experience joy and fullness in life. So people that focus on the effects life happens to them, they're often trapped and stuck as a victim. But people that focus on the cause, they consider what they can change that produce different results. And the choice is ours this morning. And in a sense, that's one of the aspects of joy that I'd like us to look at today. Jesus says he desires that our joy might be full. If we have time, I have 5 points that I'd like to go over. The first point is, what is joy? And I'd just like to look at that a little bit. Turn to Galatians 5. We know that, you know that mostly by memory. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And we're thinking about joy and what it actually is. And I'd just like to read that there. I know it's super familiar to us. The fruit of the Spirit, in verse 22 of Galatians 5, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, we shall also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. The point that I wanted to pick out there, if you're taking notes this morning, what is joy? Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is the result of a Spirit of God in a person's life. And that's something that we all want to experience. We want to experience that fruit of joy. But it comes with a cost. Joy is a gift given by God to the surrendered, submitted, and humble person who trusts their life and future into his control. John 15, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that ye might be full. It's the verses we looked at and talked about there. That's the Christ desire for us, that we could experience that fullness of joy. Joy is comforting, and it's a contented, and it's an experience of peace. As we were talking about Stephen this morning in our Sunday school lesson, I think it's evident that Stephen experienced he experienced joy. Even in the midst of that difficult situation, there was something that anchored Peter, and I look forward to, hopefully at the end of the message, we can look at a few of the causes for joy. But he experienced that, and that's amazing to me. So joy is comforting. It's contented and full of peace. It's an enduring attitude of the heart and the spirit. And it's a natural part of being a Christian and the Christian faith. It's something that as Christians, God gives to us as we surrender our life to him. We can experience joy. Joy is following and pursuing a Christ-like life. Sometimes it helps us to compare what it is not. Joy is not something that we can selfishly obtain because it's selfless. It's not something that we can just produce and muster up on our own. It's not something that we can just put on. It comes from inside, and it is a result of following Jesus. I often think of joy in a little bit of a sometimes it can be a little bit of a selfish way. I want peace, and I don't want conflict. You know what that's like? I want joy. I want to experience the good things in life. I want peace and not conflict. I want ease and not pain. I want good things, not hard things. Prosperity and not adversity. But the problem with focusing on all these things is that they're really native to our carnal man. And that's not the joy that Christ is talking about. in John 14, verse 27, John 14, 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Joy is something that originates from God and is given to his people that are surrendered to him. Not as the world. There's things that I listed that peace and absence of conflict, ease and not pain, good things, not hard things. That's what the world is looking for. But God desires to give us something more than that. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus wants to offer peace and joy that's much deeper, purer, and richer than anything the world knows about. So let's not be confused about what joy really is. It's a fruit that springs from the life of a follower of Christ. And it's the result of being controlled and being obedient to Christ. Now, the second point, question though, is how do we find joy? Something that everybody desires, right? This morning, that's natural, and we all would like to experience that. So are there some ways that we can experience joy? I'd like to, those verses that I read this morning in John 15, I'd like to look at them again just a little bit. One of the ways that we can find joy is Jesus says, "Continue ye in my love. Continue ye in my love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in Christ's love." We need to show love to those around us. If you want to find and experience joy this morning, we're talking about how to get it. How do we do that? If you feel like me, and sometimes you struggle with that, how do we obtain it? Well, one of the ways is continue in my love, in Christ's love. Show love to those that are around us. It's easy to become focused on, usually when I'm the most discouraged is when I'm focusing on what all's wrong with me and how my life is so challenging, or what's wrong with a situation that I'm involved in. But we need to learn to show love to those around us. Take our focus off of ourselves. Another one that is in these verses, verse 10, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." So our desire is to continue in his love. And how do we do that? By following his commandments. As we do that, we can experience Christ's love and find that fullness of joy. "Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." We need to obey the will of God and find joy in doing the will of God. How else do we find joy? Verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Joy comes from a solid faith in Christ. I think it was in our Sunday school lesson this morning. We were talking about, somebody mentioned some of the turmoil that's in the Middle East, and it was an interesting thought to believe or to consider that in some of these conflicts, Jesus Christ is not even in focus in either of those sides, in a sense. And we need to have a solid faith in Christ. Do you believe in Jesus this morning? Obviously, we all believe in Jesus, right? But I had a friend in Pennsylvania that was he was of the Hare Krishna religion. His name was Chris, and Chris and I were pretty good friends. And I remember a discussion one time, talking about our beliefs. And Chris did not believe in the Bible as we know it. He believed in the writings of Hare Krishna and the practices of that. And we discussed back and forth. And what I came to realize that evening as we were discussing it, that if if we don't believe the written word of God as absolute truth, there's a big world out there. And there's no foundation. It becomes whatever you believe is truth. It becomes rather abstract. But this morning, I am really thankful for the written word of God that has changed my life and made a difference in my life. And I believe you do too, with all your heart, that the word of God is true. And we accept that, and we accept it by faith, that's true. And this morning, I just want to encourage each of us to realize how important that is, that the word of God is true, it is absolute, and that Jesus is our foundation. Because when that becomes rock solid, then we can build off of that. And we can experience, one of the ways that we can find joy. It comes from faith, solid faith in Christ. And when I think about all those people fighting for a cause, and they believe that it's on truth, but this morning we believe that the word of God is the absolute truth. Believe in Christ's ability to provide. It's common to look around and try to find joy in earthly, material things, and it's not wrong to enjoy blessings, food, shelter, clothing, family, church. But if we're to connect to something solid and lasting, it needs to be based on Christ and not earthly, material things. Joy comes from a solid faith in Christ. Also, how do we find joy? Take our focus off ourselves and focus on helping and serving others. Another point, we can find joy by counting our blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. And it's amazing how that can change our mindset when we think about what God has done for us. How do we find joy? John 16, verse 24, ask for it. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. If you're struggling with joy, ask for it. Ask God for it. He wants to give it to us. How can we find joy? Stay focused. Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Stay focused. Stay focused on Christ. And he wants to help us. Just a couple, another main point that I had is, what robs us of joy? And we might just take the time to do that. Flip back to Nehemiah. I'd just like to look at a couple verses from the beginning of Nehemiah, super familiar story. What robs us of joy? Maybe I won't actually read through this because you know the story. But in chapter 1, we have Nehemiah and his friends come from Jerusalem. And he asked them, so how's it going in Jerusalem? How are we doing? How are the people doing there? And those that came and were telling him, the provinces are in great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem also are broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And verse 4, what happens to Nehemiah's joy? Says, and it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Focusing on, remember, the question is, what robs us of joy? Focusing on the effects of sin can rob us of joy. Nehemiah was made aware of the effects of the judgment on sin in Israel. His home city had experienced some bad things. And it was because of the result of sin that they experienced that judgment. And the joy was gone. Focusing on the effects of sin can rob us of joy. Another thing that can rob us of joy is hidden sin. I appreciate Nehemiah in verse 6 there. He identifies the sin of the people, and he says at the end of verse 6, both I and my father's house have sinned. He owns that personally. And that's how we can find victory over sin, is by identifying it in our lives and dealing with it. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If I'm experiencing discouragement in my life, I think we do well to ask God to just, like he says in Psalms 139, search our heart. Lord, is my heart clean? Am I pure? Am I living the way you want me to live? Because when we do, when we experience a clean heart, that can help to produce joy. Another thing that robs us of joy is focusing on ourselves and the problems around us. Worry. It's easy to worry about things. And that again is the opposite of faith in Christ. It's easy to, Matthew 6, verse 31 and 32, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't focus on ourselves and the problems that we're in, but rather look to Christ and for solutions. Comparison, envy, and pride robs us of joy. Becoming dissatisfied with circumstances, neglecting time with God, robs us from the joy from our life because it disconnects us from the source of joy. Again, remember this morning that true joy originates from God. A lack of prayer, our prayer life, can rob us of joy. Unthankfulness, there's a lot of verses that we could look at this morning talking about ingratitude. Unwilling to accept and extend forgiveness is another way that we can be robbed of our joy. Jesus told his disciples in the upper room, John 16, verse 22, and he said, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. This morning, as we think about joy and joy being taken from us, if you feel like it's not there, it's up to us to align ourselves with God and his word to be able to experience that joy. The last part of the message this morning, my favorite part, this is the part I'd really like us to understand. What is the real cause for joy? And to do that, turn to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Very, very, one of the last books in the Old Testament. Habakkuk chapter 3. I'd like to look at a few verses here. This is the part this morning that's hard for me to understand. Maybe some of you have experienced it and could help me understand it. But I'll quickly say that I do believe I quickly say that I do believe this by faith, simply by faith. But I ask a question. When 500 years ago, when the church faced persecution, why did the church just blossom and expand and grow? It was tremendous growth in the church under persecution. Why do hard things make us reach for something deeper? How can we have so many examples of people that expressed unspeakable joy even when facing severe and manifold temptations and trials? And I wanted to look at 1 Peter 1, 6 to 9, but you can jot that down if you're taking a note. This morning also in our Sunday school class, we talked about Stephen. And why did Stephen's face shine like an angel? He was about to be killed. Why did that happen? Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. How's that for joy? Pretty exciting, or not? I don't know if you've ever experienced a desperate situation, but that looks and feels and seems desperate to me. Look at verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. How does that happen? How can we experience that? These people know of something that most people do not know about. Their faith in God is greater than the trials that they're facing. Do I have that kind of faith? Do you trust that even when we face very hard things, yet we still can say that the Lord is my strength? In persecution, we could look at Acts 5, verse 40 and 41. When they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Help me understand how that can happen. How do we experience that kind of joy when things seem to be so wrong? Acts 16, verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them in prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Our Sunday school, or our superintendent this morning, we were talking about in the devotions about Job, and Job's wife said, curse God and die, and Job says that he's gonna stick with God until as long as he can. Where am I? How do these people do this? How can they connect and find joy in these kind of things? Hebrews 10, verse 34, for ye had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance, willing to take joyfully the spoiling of our goods. Fiery trials. The word goes on and on and on about people that experience really difficult things and yet they experienced joy in those things. I don't have anything new to share with you this morning, but I do believe that God has an answer for us when we face really hard things, that we have to just believe by faith, reach out to him in faith and believe that he's in control. And when we do that, is it not true that God pours grace and strength into the heart of those that are suffering and gives them the strength and the joy that they need? This morning, as I think about joy, God wants to help us experience joy in life. Our homes need joy. Our children are looking for something solid, something that's not tangible and goes away when circumstances get difficult. They want something that's more solid than that. That's what caused that church to grow when they were under persecution. That same joy is available to the New Testament church and to us today. We can experience that when we look to God in faith, and he can help us to overcome. I wanted to also look real quickly at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 as an answer to my question, how do we get that joy? Let's just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. These verses really blessed me. Maybe starting at verse 6. And follow along as I read. Howbeit we speak wisdom, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given of us to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may entrust him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I'm not claiming this morning to, but there's a lot in there. But I just want to encourage you, as we think about your life and finding joy, experiencing joy in life, there's deep things that God has for his people, the people that are willing to humble themselves and just reach out to him and ask for it, align their life with the word, and trust him to give it to you. I just want to encourage you this morning, whatever you're facing, just reach out to God and allow him to give you that strength, that your joy may be full and you can experience fullness in your Christian life. Let's kneel together for prayer.